You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior cycle and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier.
Hello and welcome back to the Study Clicks podcast. You're listening to Emer and Nessa, two people who have worked for Study Clicks for some time, and we're here to once, as always, give you our learned wisdom. Does that make sense? Learned wisdom.
Yes.
It's probably not the best combination of words.
In that. When do you, what, I never know.
I would love to use learned correctly.
Learned versus learned. I think someone can be learned, but if you.
You and I are extremely learned.
I learned something at school today. I have learned.
Yeah,
I think it's when it's like describing a person they're learned. Anyway.
Emer, thank you
what
for
a great
explaining.
Start to the podcast, eh?
Thank you for explaining that to me. You were so learned.
Excellent use of the word learned. So we are back this week, and this is kind of a follow-up podcast to the last one we recorded, which was the prioritization one, how to prioritize your study, what to put first, how to weigh up the items that you need to study and decide which ones are more important to do and how many to do in your day and that kind of stuff. But it ties in being sort of conquering that and deciding the right thing to do in that space only really works optimally if you also have a good grasp on time management and knowing how to best to organize your time and those tasks that you have prioritized. So we mentioned in the other podcast that we'll be doing this one and that you should listen to it as well and sort of combine the two once you have a good understanding of it. So that's what we're here to do today with this one.
That's what we're here to do today. Sorry to keep a good introduction going, but I feel like it's been a number of podcasts since we've just, I never know how to introduce it, but that we are sisters. Should we like just mention that every now and again? Does that enhance the listener experience?
Do you think we could come up with some snappy line about being like,
like a jingle?
Because we always do. We make exams easier. And then could we also have like a very... Well, I don't believe in doing things really rehearsed, but like, welcome back. I'm Emer.
You're Nessa.
We're sisters. And we love studying.
We're
never going to top the one where I can't remember what we said. Something about like we found out we were sisters after we
we found out we were sisters. Yeah, that was top tier.
No, that's not how we met. We met at home.
Can't wait for that version of the Parent Trap.
Right. Anyway, yeah, we are sisters and we both work for Study Clicks and we've both been doing this podcast a while, helping you guys learn better study tips, how to optimize the way that you work and giving you advice on getting through the exams and school and all of the different things you might encounter in that world. I think we do an okay job at it, Nessa.
Yeah.
So that gives us enough qualification to keep doing it.
Just so people know, we are only related to each other. There's no nepotism going on in Study Clicks apart from the nepotism between myself and Emer. But don't let that sway like your thoughts on our experience and knowledge.
What is the actual definition of nepotism? Is it...
Are we going to get into this now?
Well, I'm just wondering, because usually... It's funny that, to me, like, real nepotism is like father to son, or like older authoritative figure gives something to their child. Whereas... I'm your younger sister and suggested you for the role of social media manager. It doesn't feel like direct nepotism. It feels
I listen to a good few pop culture podcasts, and obviously nepotism usually refers to the children of famous people, like, you know, what's the name of John Bon Jovi's son, who's just engaged.
That's just crazy. Engaged. Sorry, this isn't a pop culture podcast.
Will we pivot? Let's pivot. All these, anyway, you know, the general ones, there's like a million. Maya Hawke, I'm just going off the Stranger Things cast now. But there's a podcast I listen to, which when, do you know Lana Del Rey? Her father has started getting into making music. And the podcast host refers to that as reverse nepotism, even though I think they just made that up.
Interesting.
It's interesting. Will we get
I also think there's another like layer to that where it's like nepotism, reverse nepotism at the same time. For example, I feel like Billy Ray Cyrus obviously was famous before Miley Cyrus, but now he's kind of
he's piggybacking off her fame.
So
she's keeping him relevant.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love if this was a Leaving Cert subject? You know, like
media. It should be. It's important.
I feel I 100% think that media literacy needs to be start being taught in schools. When you like I don't get it in StudyClicks' audiences because this generation grew up with the internet, but when you see like the older, like your parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles who are on Facebook, they're just they take in a lot of news, and they don't have the knowledge to know how to actually take headlines and read it and actually know what it means and read the subtext and all that. I think that's 100% a skill that people might not ever learn. Depends on the industry you get into. And I'm like, so true. Make it a Leaving Cert subject, and it would be so interesting, and students, teenagers would be so good at it.
Someday, you should write a letter to Norma Foley.
She'd listen to me.
We've derailed this entirely and clearly maybe aren't the best people to be talking about time management because we don't know how to manage our podcast time.
Oh my God, we're 15 minutes into our podcast. 20
minutes into the podcast. Sorry guys.
Let's get into it.
Yes, let's get into it. So there are a couple of techniques that you can use to manage your time. A couple of them you will definitely already have heard about, whether it's through us harping on in another podcast about this thing, but it's good to have one coherent podcast or cohesive where we just go through all of them and you can sort of absorb everything about time management in one nice slick podcast. So I know you are good at the Pomodoro technique and like to mention a lot. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah, so, well, I feel like the Pomodoro technique is one that I have banged on about in the past because it's like this method that was developed by, I want to say, neurologists, people who study the brain and have seen how, ran experiments about how long people can focus for without, like, for effectively before their brain starts shutting off and not actually taking in the information and all this. So, like, the technique that they came up with was the Pomodoro technique, which means that you should study your work in 25-minute blocks, take a 5-minute break, and then go again. If this works for you, this is really, really great because there's loads of apps out there to support it. Forest, I have an extension on my Chrome that blocks all the social media sites, and that goes for 25 minutes and then gives me a 5-minute break.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the science of Pomodoro and I appreciate that there's a lot of thought put into it and it works for many people. I feel I've never used it personally because I don't like being time boxed into that, you know, it has to be 25 this way. And sometimes I might get into a flow and be totally fine at working straight for an hour. Or like, is that allowed within the framework of the Pomodoro technique?
No, well, like I've in preparation for this podcast, like I watched a number of different people talk about their time management methods, and a lot of people don't actually rate, it's not that they don't rate the Pomodoro technique very high, but it's actually more so that they feel that once, like 25 minutes is too short, basically. Especially, it depends on the task you're doing, I guess, but like at 25 minutes you could be really in the groove, and then if you kind of stop that, you're kind of stopping the momentum, taking a break, and then when you come back into it, you're kind of, the flow isn't there. So maybe some people just found like, maybe I'm better off studying for 40 minutes and then taking like a 10-minute break, and the cycle, you know, we go again. What I just really like about the Pomodoro technique is that the way I kind of tell myself to do things, because it ties into motivation as well, and like when you don't know where to start, the whole thing with the Pomodoro technique is that you actually just pick one topic and you work on that topic distraction free for 25 minutes. You set the timer and you're like, I'm not allowed to do anything else but this topic until that timer goes. And I just... Okay. So that's where I kind of see the benefit out of it. You can take it on like a case by case basis. Maybe if it's like a maths question, 25 minutes is perfect. Maybe if it's in an English essay, you bring it up to 50 minutes and then you take like a 10-minute break, you know, that kind of a way. But I think working, like having that kind of structure, that works for me. And if you kind of feel like you lack that structure and it could be a good motivation and a time management tool for you, 100% go for it, because it works for lots of people, and that's why people have built these tools around it, because it does work.
Yeah, I guess the key takeaway for me from that is, or just from the technique in general, is to remind yourself to take breaks. I know I definitely would have been the person who just gets into a way of thinking, I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to do this, sit down for 3 hours and not get back up because I just want this done. But it is really important to remember to take breaks, because by the end of those 3 hours, your brain's not going to be doing the work that it could be doing if you gave it small little breaks.
Well, that's why I think actually the tools are helpful, because for me, my issue was I would take a break for 10 minutes and then not come back. Whereas these tools have like a timer that says, okay, your break's over, time to get back to work, which often I'd be like, nope, like you're not the boss of me. But it's good to have that.
Yeah. And the good thing about the Pomodoro technique is that it's so commonplace. Everyone, there, you know, you just have to Google it and you'll get loads of free tools that'll do it for you. Or you've got those distraction apps like Forest that essentially apply the Pomodoro technique and like allow you to block distractions on your phone for the period of time that you would want to use with the Pomodoro technique. So it's an easy thing to use in conjunction with other tools that you might have, because it's just such a common thing that everyone always uses when it comes to time management and study. So shouldn't be a hard one to adopt, I don't think.
Yeah, no, the tools are really helpful. They're out there, use them. And they're, most of them are free.
Speaking of tools, I think time management and organization go hand in hand. So you will lose a lot of time if you're not organized, because you will just spend that time being like, oh, what do I do next? And so again, in our last podcast, we talked about prioritization, and a lot of that was essentially how to make a list of things you're going to do, how to make a to-do list, how to make a plan. And look, we won't harp on about making plans because we do that enough, but go listen to those podcasts. But you know, if you have your plan in place and you've made it the night before, or you take the first 5 minutes to make your quick plan before you, you know, start that study session, using additional tools that will help you put your things in place that you want to do, and maybe even a little note on how long you want to do them, that will cut out the time wasted that you could, it'll cut out the time that you could potentially waste, you know, just sort of sitting down and being like, okay, what'll I do next? Okay, let me check my folder. Oh, I don't need to do that. You know, it's just, don't do that. It's a waste. But you know, tools that could help you, I like Trello anyway. Trello is a simple tool to help you create like a virtual to-do list, and you can drag cards across when you finish them. You can add extra details. You can upload files. It's really, really helpful. So use that if you haven't looked at that already. We've got a blog that explains how to use it on Sidekick. So just go use the search bar to look up that blog. Nessa will include it in the links as well, because she's very good at that.
Thank you for reminding me to do that.
We also have StudyClicks planners. Again, we will not go on and on about it. Use the search bar, Ness will include the links, but you can use those. We've got sort of different ones for daily planners or weekly planners. Try and put as much in there as you can, and then save time on the prep part of your study. And I know you have another tool that you like talking about. I forget what it's called.
I think I mentioned this on the podcast a couple of weeks back. Definitely wasn't that long ago, because I only discovered it. I remember like discovering it just before Christmas, and then spending all of my Christmas, like my downtime, just putting everything that was like saved in screenshots on my phone. Like things like, oh, this hairdo I want to try, or this place for brunch in Dublin that I want to try. And like having it all saved within this one website, and like making little organizational lists. So I won't bang on too much about it, but it's Notion. It's really, really good. I love it. You can make it look so pretty. I think I mentioned her name before, that an influencer we used to work with. She used to make lovely YouTube videos for us. She's done her Leaving Cert a few years ago now. Anna Lengs is her name on YouTube. She's obsessed with Notion, and she's done really comprehensive videos on how she uses it and how you can use it too. So I would definitely, you know what, I'll drop that link in as well. I mean, I'll make it very
it's
easy
gonna
for
be a
you.
Long list.
But yeah, Notion is top tier. I'm obsessed. You can get like templates and stuff, and I've gotten a to-do list template, and it like has broken up like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then underneath is all the checkboxes, and like literally any thought that comes into my head about something I want to do today, I just stick it on. It's really, really helped how I do my actual like study clicks work of like, oh, I want to put this piece of content on Instagram, or I want to do this tweet, you know, that kind of a thing. It's the kind of thoughts that, like, you come in, that come into your head, that you're like, oh, I must do that, but because it's like a fleeting thought, you kind of forget about it. I find it really useful for things like that. But yeah, it's just like a database for my life, and I find that really useful. You can plan your Leaving Cert holiday on it. Like, I can't recommend Notion enough.
This is not a paid ad. I presume it's free to use, right?
Yes, I like most things on the internet, it has like a free, like a free version and a paid version, but I get everything I need out of the free version.
Cool.
Yeah.
And if you're lazy like me, you can just use the Notes app on your phone, which is also good. It's not as pretty and you can't organize it as much, but even like you could use both if you're just out and about and you don't have access to your laptop and you want to just quickly note something down to remember to do it later. That's what I do. Like I'll add a couple of things to my Notes app every day and be like, I need to book this. I need to like text this person back and blah, blah, blah. And I don't do it in the moment, but then at the end of the day, when I get time, I go back over my list and then either move that item somewhere else if it needs to be stored somewhere else, or I'll just go and do that task. So you could do that as well.
Yeah. The Notes app on my phone will always be like number one because it's just right there. In fairness, it's so easy.
So convenient. Shout out to the Notes app.
Imagine that Study Clicks doing like a Notes app apology for like, I don't know.
God, I feel like the Notes app, I can imagine that Apple never anticipated how popular the Notes app would be.
Surely not. Like, they never put any thought into that.
Yeah. It's so simple.
It's anyway. What a tool. Yeah.
One thing that I think is important when it comes to time management is being able to identify what is soaking up all of your time. Because there are bound to be certain things that you're just not doing efficiently yet, and that's fine. Like, you're not born into this world knowing how to do everything the right way. And there are different elements of this. You know, it might be that, like, just from a very basic level, the way you're studying is not time efficient.
Yeah.
But it might also be that the way you write essays is not time efficient, or maybe the way that you're putting your to-do list together isn't time efficient, or maybe the way that you're organizing your schedule. You know, there's different ways that you might be losing out on time. So there's not a one thing fits all thing, but it's more about, for the first step is just trying to recognize where you think you're spending too much time. I know we did a podcast with Donica a couple of years ago. And he asked the question, like, what's the best way to study? And I think,
forgot about that.
But I think I said something like, you know, it's all about actually finding the right way of studying. It's not necessarily like studying more or studying for longer. It's about finding the right way to study that's efficient. So you can waste so much of your time doing that study method that's not really for you or doesn't really work for how you tend to absorb information. So yeah, find that out first. We've got other podcasts on, you know, study methods, and so listen to that to try and figure out that first. That's one way you can try and save some time by picking up a different method that works a bit better for you. I know personally that I used to spend loads of time, or just waste hours of my time really, on essays. Like, I brought that up for a reason because it's that was definitely my issue, and where I lost so much time. And it would just frustrate, it kind of snowballs into this frustration thing, because you know you're wasting time, and then you get angry at yourself for wasting time, and then your brain is also slowly getting tired because you're not technically like taking a break, but you're just sort of sitting there being like, oh, God, ah, and then you're just you're really moody and angry by the end of it, so it's not helping anyone. I used to just I found essays hard because I would sit there looking at the sheet of paper and just going, I don't know what to write next. Instead of being proactive about it, I would just kind of sit there and get frustrated for a while and like try and think of something, but then get distracted. And then so like, for example, I should have recognized that early on and tried to make an effort to do something about it. You know, like, maybe I would come up with some sort of technique to you know, if I was getting, you know, quote unquote writer's block while trying to write an essay, that I would try and just throw out 5 keywords that would inspire me to write something else. Or, you know, I would quickly Google an online resource about the essay that I'm trying to write, and you know, just take like a sentence from that and let that inspire. You know, there's like different ways that you could try, and that's obviously a very like specific example of how to save time in writing an essay. But you know, it's the point I'm making is that identify first what it is that you're not doing efficiently, and then trying to brainstorm ways to do it. And you know, I'm not going to be able to go through all of the potential things that might happen to you now, but I can imagine Google is your friend in that case. You can be like, if it's you know, you're spending too much time watching a video in biology on how to understand respiration, maybe watching a big long video isn't the best way to study that. Maybe it's reading like a quick revision book that just has all the points condensed into a bullet list. Anyway, I'm going to stop going through examples because the subject is too broad. But yeah, identify it and then try to figure out how to make it more efficient. The key is sort of being self-aware about the whole thing and rectifying your own actions.
That's like one of my biggest downfalls, I think, when it comes to time management, is that I can, once I get fixated on one task, I have to finish it. And I should come up with a school example for this, but the only one that's coming to me now is me running StudyClick's Instagram example. But I remember once, like, I found this video of like a cat running wild around the place, and I wanted to have, I don't know, like, oh, he fell off, and I just wanted to have a caption that moved with the cat and be like me trying to get my study together. And I spent like 3 hours trying to make like this one meme, and I knew it wasn't worth my time, but I was just like, I just, once I started it, I had to finish, and like I never even posted because it didn't even look that good. Like, so it's just like it is like recognizing what, like an old manager used to say to me, he was just like, is the juice worth the squeeze? Which is basically, is the effort that you're putting into it worth what you're going to get out of it? You can kind of apply that to your homework too, and like, you know, you're putting all this effort into maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something that's like surprisingly low marks, like, you know, like the prose, like the question on that would be on her Lama book in the Irish paper is like, it's surprisingly the same amount of marks as something really like the same for reading the poem in the oral.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like thinking of it in that, like, imagine you probably spend way more hours on like reading about how perfect the sheen is. I feel like I said that the last time.
You have said that a lot in this.
It's imprinted in my brain forever. Compared to like how you would try to perfect reading the poem. I know the orals are done now, done and dusted. No need to worry about them ever again. But yeah, it's kind of you. It's good when you're coming to thinking of time management. You're always thinking of the bigger picture in terms of like, how much is this actually what I'm working on now worth in the exam and worth points, and like in the grand scheme of things, how well I want to do. Is this within a subject that I want to improve on? Is my time really well being spent here, or am I kind of neglecting something else by spending a lot of time on this? I think that's worth looking at as well.
Yeah, and that ties directly back in with what we talked about in our last podcast on the prioritization. Like, that is a great way to decide how you should prioritize your things, is how much weight does that thing have in the exam, how much is it going to help you in terms of points and your grade. And it's such an easy trap to fall into as well. I think, like, I do that exact same thing, that of just knowing I'm doing a task that isn't the priority, but I'm just like, I just want to get this out of the way, or oh, I've half started it now and I just want to finish it. And you know, that's fine to do from time to time as well, because I totally understand that feeling of just wanting to get something out of the way. But if you're really stressed and there's loads going on, you're like, I need to get this done, then it is worth taking a second and thinking, okay, no, it's silly to keep working on this thing because I do have all these other things to do.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, be realistic with yourself, be self-aware.
Yeah, the other my other big downfall is distractions, and I think this is probably a big one for other people, because like this, I can just get a random, same way that I can get fixated on the task, I can get fixated on a totally non-study or work-related task. Like, I would just get into my head, I'm really bad with online shopping actually, and like Depop, and I'd be just like, do you know what I need? Like a black polo neck jumper. And I'd just be in the middle of the day, like I would maybe need to prepare for something that's actually like happening imminently, but like all of a sudden I'm like, I really need that black, like it 100% can wait, it can totally wait, but my brain's like, I'm on Depop right now, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like, and like, I don't have a Depop blocker on my phone the same way I have for my social media apps, but that's probably like my more common downfall, is that like I sometimes go on autopilot when I kind of unlock my phone and I'm just kind of circulating through the same social media apps like Instagram, TikTok. TikTok is dangerous because you get caught in the constant I wouldn't even loop, doesn't make sense, but just constantly scrolling down the feed. So you have to, when it comes to distractions, if that's as big a downfall for you as it is for me, I'm sorry to say it, and you want to get work done, you don't want this to be ruining your life, you're going to need to set some boundaries. And the best thing, I like, there's a number of solutions to this. One, if you don't need your phone, put it in another room. Use Forest. That, again, coming back to the Pomodoro technique, its default is to kind of block your phone for 25 minutes so you don't go on any other app. But I'm pretty sure in the settings you can change it if you want to do it for longer. Like I said, Chrome extension, the one I use, the Strict Workflow. Is there any other ones that you can think of, Amy, or these kind of apps to help for focus?
Well, there's the one I use. I don't know, should I mention it? Because you do have to pay to use it.
Okay. Is this the one I texted you about the other day?
Yeah.
I texted that to put it in an infographic on Instagram. So I didn't even question it.
Well, I mean, it's like, obviously do what you want with your money. So this isn't sponsored by this crowd or anything. But the app that I use is called One Sec. And it's a bit of a faff to set up because you have to use the shortcut app and like configure it. It took me like a good 10-15 minutes to sort of set everything up. But it is really effective, because what it does is when you try to open something like TikTok, for example, it shows this like pop-up on your screen it makes you take a deep breath, like, you know, in for 5-10 seconds and then out again for 5-10 seconds. So there's about 20 seconds between you clicking on the app and it actually allowing you in, where it gives you the time to reflect on whether you actually do want to open it or not. Because I find I just kept opening things like the different social media apps without actually registering that I was doing it. And then only 20 minutes later, I'd be like, I did not open this. I don't remember opening this. And that's really scary. So I'm finding that app very worthwhile, because I don't think it's that expensive either. But like, it gives me that second to reflect and go, oh, actually, yeah, you're right. I clicked on this totally as a second nature thing. Now that this is forcing me to breathe and think about it, no, I don't want to open it, and then I'll close it again. So it just gives you a moment to be more self-aware, which is good. We love self-awareness.
Yeah, 100%.
I find I get distracted at work sometimes if a task isn't keeping me particularly engaged, or just, you know, some days your brain just does not want to focus as much as it does other days. What I do is, I am a big fan of playlists. And I think it is scientifically proven. I could be wrong on the scientific part of this, but there is something to sort of like lo-fi music and that sort of mindless beat thing that is really good for concentration. And I actually don't listen to, I sometimes listen to lo-fi ones, but I just like, there's a lot of like fun, whimsical ones on YouTube. I'm enjoying one at the moment where it's like some fantasy bookshop in the woods sound. It comes with a really nice visual as well, but it's just got this like kind of mystical sound, and it's very calming, but it also, it's something about having music in the background that isn't distracting music, so without lyrics, but it helps me stay focused, and then I'm much more likely to not want to look at my phone or not diverge onto something else. So recommend playlists. And Gabrielle has a video on this, doesn't she?
Yeah, what you were saying there was like making me think this totally links into our Study With Me videos. So you're probably familiar with this. People tend to do it live on like Instagram and TikTok sometimes, where they're like, I'm going to be live at 6 o'clock and I'm going to be studying for an hour and a half, and I'm going to be doing this if you want to join me. And it's really nice the way you just, there's definitely a name for it, like environmental immersification, I don't know, but just like knowing that there's someone there in real time and they're in this really calm and quiet setting and they're focused on this, on doing this for the next hour and whatever. You can do the live ones because they're really great. They can hold, if you decide you want to be there for the whole thing, it holds you accountable to like to a certain time, like you're like, okay, I need to start studying at the same time as them and I will stay studying with them until they finish. And but if you just want that kind of just the kind of the time block in general. Gabrielle from our YouTube channel, she did an hour and a half study with me, which is perfect. She did three Pomodoro blocks, so like 25 minutes, 5 minute break, 25 minutes, 5 minute break. So you could like, you could decide like, okay, tonight I'm going to do Gabrielle's hour and a half long study with me on StudyClix's YouTube, and I'm going to take three topics for each of the 25 minute blocks, or I'm going to use it, I'm going to take it for three pieces of homework I have. So like the first is maybe I have two maths questions to do. The second is I have to answer this question about Lady Macbeth. And the third is I have to write something about the French strikes. Hopefully not, because that's way too topical, or like way too someone was asking me.
I never know, that could be
someone was asking me about that ahead of the oral exam, and I was like, I hope not. it was so close.
Yeah, if you get asked that, it means you're doing well.
Doing well.
But yeah, it's that I forgot about that study with me, but
until you start saying what I was
referencing was she did a video on playlists to listen to. That's what I was gonna say.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I totally.
That's even better. I forgot
relevant.
About that additional.
Yeah. Gabrielle is really good at this kind of thing. Like, she's kind of like really interested in like, you know, productivity and focus and how like just always studying, you know, she's kind of interested in learning as a kind of a general topic, like. So she did a TikTok on this first, and then she decided to make a kind of a longer version for her YouTube channel, but basically about like how to build the perfect study playlist, and like, you know, here's how you start it off, and these are the kind of songs you want to put in the middle. Like, obviously totally up to you what you put into it, but she kind of gives this real kind of scientific structure to how you can make the perfect study playlist for you, and it's really interesting. So I would I'll link that in the description notes as well, the episode notes.
Oh, these
I
links.
Wish I was writing these down.
Oh god, yeah. Well, you need to listen back to the podcast before we send it live anyway to sanity check. Yes, big surprise to our listeners that this gets edited, because we cannot keep in everything that me and Essa end up rambling on about.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay, so next point. Do you want to go next?
So the next thing is like setting deadlines. This is something I only kind of did recently. Well, I kind of do it in conjunction with this other thing, which I heard some other one of these time guys, unfortunately, when I was like
time guys,
imagine I had my own podcast and I had no one else to hold me accountable for like the things I say. Like, I was just going to continue.
Who's a time guy? I just honestly have no idea what you mean by time guy. Clockmakers?
No, I'm not talking about like horologists. I only know that word from John Joe from the toy show all those years ago. Anyway, sorry, when I was researching this podcast and I was looking up other people's methods of like time management, the lines were nearly crossing, which, you know, that side of YouTube was just like, you should be waking up at 5 a.m. and always making money. But anyway, one of these time guys, what they said, they kind of described this thing which is time blocking, I think. But I realized this is something I super need, that like I have all these things that I want to do kind of in the back of my head, but I could put them down on a to-do list, but I could do them on any day, you know, that kind of a thing, you know, the way that like I did this subject back in fifth year, I want to revise it, but you never actually have, there's no, you don't have an exam coming up on it, like, or like you have like a class test, say, coming up in photosynthesis. It's just something you need to go over yourself before the leaving cert. So what you could do is set a deadline for when you want to set photosynthesis. Like, actually set a time and date for when you're going to do this, because otherwise, like, it's just that extra little bit of account, holding yourself to account to actually do the things that you want to do. But if you, like, it was called time blocking because like you're like saying, I'm going to block off this time in my calendar and I'm going to dedicate it to this thing and I have to get it done by then, instead of this kind of general idea you have in your head that you need to go back and revise the subject, you have found the time in your calendar, your schedule, that you're going to dedicate to revising this thing that you otherwise you don't really have any pressure on yourself to do it, but you're kind of taking it upon yourself to make sure it gets done by setting a deadline.
Yeah. I think as well it's not just setting your own deadlines. Well, first of all, I think if you want some extra incentive, what you can do is also plan on that deadline to do something nice for yourself.
Like, love that.
Whether it's just, if I get this done by the 5th of May, I am going to treat myself to an ice cream, or whatever it might be. I'm going to let myself buy that t-shirt I really want from wherever. So that's one thing, because it can be, if like it's all well and good to set a deadline, but it's like you're having to hold yourself accountable. Whereas if you add little things like that, it makes it a little bit more fun and rewarding. But also what I sort of feel with the deadline stuff is I tend to set myself my own deadlines for things that already have deadlines, because it tends to get really stressful in the time running up to that deadline, because chances are a lot of people around you also have that deadline, and everyone starts getting in each other's heads about that upcoming deadline. And it's an amazing feeling if you have your own deadline set before that, and then when everyone else is freaking out about the deadline, you don't have to worry about it. And that sounds a little bit like leaving your friends in the dust, but
who needs them?
I mean, you can recommend all of your friends to do this. I guarantee not everyone does this, because lots of people love working like under pressure and just can't work unless it's the night before the thing is due. And look, that's fine. I totally understand that as well. But in my experience, like the home ec food assignments.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say this.
Like, it's a classic. It's a classic because you're given your deadline ages. You know how much work you have to do. You get your book. You know you need to fill it out. You need to do a certain amount of work. And most people will be like, oh, I'll do that over the summer. But then like loads of people also then just don't. Time goes by. They forget about it. So, yeah, I knew I wanted to get that done. I knew I didn't want to be in that position a couple of days beforehand, being like, oh god, I haven't finished this, I need to write it all in, staying up late at night. So yeah, I got it done and it felt amazing. And other people will be annoyed at you, so maybe, like, usually when I do these things I don't tell other people that I have it done. I'm just like, I feign, like, oh god, yeah, this is really stressful. It's because people will be mad at you for doing this.
Yeah,
but for your own sake, honest to god, it is it's great. It just takes so much pressure off and you're not in that stressful mindset.
Did you
trying to get stuff done just a couple of days before it's supposed to be done?
Minor tangent, last slash anecdote. Did you do that thing in fifth year where you get paid to sit outside leaving cert and your junior cert and bring the examiner tea? Not the examiner.
I think it's definitely something I wanted to do, but I think it might have been that I was already working, in our local hotel restaurant.
Oh yes, well I did that, and that's when I got my home ec general done, because you're not allowed your phone. I was allowed to bring I was allowed to bring my Nintendo though, which is great.
Nintendox all day long.
But yeah, and I couldn't help but be really smug about that, because like that was a great environment to get stuff done. I just like had these blocks, literally the length of the junior cert and leaving cert exams, so I was able to get my home ec journal done in like 3 days.
Yeah,
and I or didn't have to worry about it for the rest of the summer, because like everyone else was hanging over them all summer.
Yeah, but you could also manufacture environments like that for yourself if you really wanted to.
That's
like
true.
You were forced to do that because that's the thing that happens every year, and you applied for it and you got it. But you could also say, I'm going to leave my phone at home. I'm going to go to my grandparents' house. They've no Wi-Fi. I'm going to go up to the room and sit by myself. You know, you could also create that kind of strict environment for yourself if you think that would help. You know, you don't have to be chosen as the invigilator assistant thing.
It helps, but yeah.
Find like a quiet, or just say like, I'm going to put aside these 3 days to during the summer or during Easter holidays or whatever, to do these things and get it done, because I do not want to be the person that has to freak out about this.
That was such a handy job. If there's anyone like in fifth year and under listening to this, even no other like kind of summer job, 100% go for that. It's so handy.
Is that a thing that's in every school, I wonder?
Oh, I just assumed it was. Are you saying they have robot and
Well, no, I don't know. Maybe some schools don't have the same selection process, or maybe they just get people they know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Your main job is actually like escorting like the exam students to and from like the bathroom so they don't like run off in the middle. Okay, so yeah, that's deadlines and stuff. Oh yeah, when we were on the topic of plans earlier, and then we didn't want to get like too much into it because we have a whole podcast dedicated to plans, and
every single podcast we have is dedicated to plans.
We cannot go one without say we cannot go a podcast without mentioning plans. But when it comes to, it's just basically a big part of time management, and when you're organizing and you're creating your to-do lists and your schedules and all this, especially when you're like in Leaving Cert, Junior Cert, and you have all of these subjects and you have many, many chapters within these multiple subjects, you're automatically already overwhelmed because you have these vast amounts of information across wildly different areas of knowledge, and you're just automatically overwhelmed before you even get started. And that kind of doesn't help because you're thinking, right, I just need to study French, or like, oh, the exams are coming up, I need to study biology, and you think of it as a whole subject, and it's like so overwhelming. And if you're kind of getting in that kind of stage, sometimes it's so overwhelming you can't even start because you don't know where to. So one big thing that we always mention with that is that you have to just keep breaking down something until you get it in chunks, and then you can start applying your little things like your to-do lists and your Notion planner, your StudyClix planner. So say, like, for example, you want to revise the digestive system. Break that down. Like, so say, like, you have biology, break it down to the digestive system. No pun intended. And I did a TikTok on this before, and I remembered I made the same joke. So you break down, say, okay.
So it was intended.
It was 100% intended.
Right. Well, just say that then.
Okay, anyway, you have the digestive system. That's quite actually broad in itself. Write that down even more. Say you just want to study the diagram of the digestive system, and you want to know all the parts. And then you put that, okay, like, how long is that going to take me? Or you could just say, if you could actually get it to the first 5 minutes, because that's another kind of time motivation tool, is like, just if you don't know where to start, just set yourself a timer for 5 minutes and say you're going to study for 5 minutes, and that just gets the ball rolling. So if you can mm-hmm. keep breaking down a subject until you get a task that will take you 5 minutes, that's a really good way of just making the whole thing a lot more manageable, and really mm-hmm. good if you struggle to even get started.
Yeah, or okay, I know we talk so much about plans, but and this is maybe going a bit overboard, but like making a little plan within your plan for each task. So for example, maybe just like for some things lend themselves much better to this. Like obviously we've talked in the past about making an essay plan, and we have a whole template for essay planners, because that's an example of something where you actually do need to say, okay, well, first of all, I want to make a list of each of the points I want to make in each paragraph. And then the first thing in my plan after that is to write my introduction, and then decide what my conclusion is going to be. And then I fill it, you know, you've got like a list of a couple of things there to do within one of the items on your list. So you can do that for other things as well. Like if you know that you have like a relatively large work item to do within French, and you're like, okay, well, let's break this down into this, and then within that, what do I need to do? And just make like really like tiny bullet points. Like it doesn't have to be a big elaborate thing, but just the more granular and organized you can get yourself, it seems time consuming, it might seem a little bit counterproductive, but I think once you get into the swing of it, and like your brain is in that mode of thinking about things in like the granular way, and knowing how to plan it out and do what and when, and it will save you a long time in the long run, because you're not wasting all of this time in your head being like, so I wonder what I'll do here.
You waste so much time doing that.
You know, it's just like when you cut that out by just being like, right, task, need to do this, I don't know how to do this, right, I'm going to straight away look up how do I do this, you know, just cut out the faff.
That's really good. Yeah, I guess that's the last point. And I feel like we we should be in the habit of saying this for every podcast, because when we're making podcasts about like, here's how you do this now, but you're junior and leaving cert, and we're just talking about just very practical things you can do. And especially there when I mentioned about like the very nature of the junior and leaving cert, like the all the knowledge that you're kind of expected to have and study and be constantly revising is crazy overwhelming. So like I said, that word like overwhelming, you are naturally going to get super, super stressed. And I get people messaging me all the time thinking that they're literally on the brink of burnout. And so I think it's important that we mention, after all of this that we've said about how you can help yourself do this, this and this, like all of everything we've said is hopefully to reduce the stress you feel. But just to know, like, to just be conscious of maybe like if you're making a plan and you're like packing too much into it, or like it's getting really close to exams now, so you're trying to do as much as you can, you're trying to take all our tips on board and then packing all of that into everything you need to do in like the next couple of weeks or whatever, and just be as realistic as possible. Like if it's looking like, I mean, at this stage, if you're listening to this when we put it out and you're doing like junior living cert exams, there's only so much you can do. You will have to prioritize. So like, please don't get too overwhelmed with trying to do everything, because literally you are just a little human person. There is only so much you can do. Please do not put too much pressure on yourself. And just remember that leaving cert or the junior cycle is never life or death. Like there's
and no 2 days are the same. You might have one day where you feel extremely productive and you get loads done, and then the next day you feel like you've given yourself the same amount of tasks, but suddenly you don't get any of it done, and then you're really hard on yourself because of it. And you know, just be mindful that every day is different, and some other thing might have happened in that day to make you less productive. Or yeah, just take every day as it comes and adapt to how you're feeling, but just try as much as you can to get as much as your brain will allow you to get done in that day. But if you feel that it's saying no, acknowledge that too and give yourself a little break and try again the following day. I know, especially like at the time that this podcast is going to be coming out, it's getting really close to leaving cert, so people might be like, well, I don't have time to just give myself a break one evening, like I have to study. But that won't do you any good, because if your brain is really like, I'm out for the night, you can't do anything about it. So just try to listen to what your body's telling you and be kind to yourself. You will be fine. Everyone is always fine at the end of the day, and it will all work out, even though it doesn't seem like it might at the moment. Trust us, it'll all come quite naturally to you. And
yeah, and if you are leaving cert and you're listening to this, oh my god, it's nearly the end. Like, how buzzed are you?
Yeah, isn't it great? Like, yeah, you're so close and you will do great. And
these next few weeks are going to fly, like regardless of what year you're in, but like especially if you're in sixth year. I remember I actually like couldn't get over how quickly the last few weeks of school went after Easter. And then the leaving cert itself also thankfully flies. Oh my god. So it'll be stressful, but it's like, I would also say, well, some general life advice is like to make the most of this kind of the last few weeks with your classmates, because it's like, it's so memorable. Like I really remember the last few, particularly the last 2 weeks of school, like we all just got super close because we were all so aware that we weren't going to be together this close every day again. Like it's really like sentimental and sad. Like, so when you're like, you're obviously studying and that's kind of like at the forefront of your mind, but be thinking of that too. It's so important. That's what you're going to remember forever, not like exactly how many points you got in French, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true.
So true.
So true. Let's
end there, I think. That's a good note to end on. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about?
No, I think that's it. As per usual, we are more than happy to hear from you at any time, whether that be with podcast recommendations or things you want to hear us talk about, whether it's feedback on what we've said or any additional questions you might have. We, you know, our doors are always open here at Study Clicks, so get in touch with us via the website. You could use the web chat. If you have an account, you can message us on our social media platforms.
We are...
you can email us at info@studyclicks.ie. sorry, go on ahead with your social media.
I thought you said we are study clicks everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And you should be able to message us. Instagram is the best one for messaging in terms of responsiveness. But yeah, you can get you. I just please follow us. We do loads of amazing stuff on all those platforms. We're constantly like linking back to blogs and stuff that you know you might forget are on study clicks or like remind you of all this great content. So it's we're also we're like we're really funny on social media, but we're also super helpful. So I think we're worth the follow.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it, even though
it's not relevant.
even though it's not relevant to me, it's and even though I'm a little biased because I know and like all the people working on the TikTok, but it is great.
It's great.
So yeah, let's leave it there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll be back again with some more tips and tricks and advice and a calming. Hopefully calming voice,
voice
helping
really
you and guiding you through school and exams. But yeah, we will be back soon. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we really appreciate all of our listeners out there, those who support us.
Yeah.
If you want to support us even more, you can give us a review on Spotify or anywhere else. You can leave us a nice comment, you know, rate the YouTube channel. We're on YouTube. We put these podcasts on YouTube so you can watch us as well.
Oh yeah, I never mentioned that this was a video podcast.
Yeah.
Surprise!
But yeah, please give us a 5-star review if you like what we do. We love reading those.
Mm.
So, but yeah.
Make our day.
That's it.
Thanks so much.
So, thanks for listening.
Song of all.